America back on track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
NASA says that because of poor weather, there's only a 40% chance that the Space Shuttle Discovery will lift off as scheduled tonight at 9:35 Eastern Time. The FDA is convening a panel of advisors to study the risks of drug-coated stents that have been implanted in millions of heart patients, and which evidence now shows may lead to dangerous blood clots. With the E. coli outbreak in the Northeast expanding, New Jersey health officials are asking Taco Bell to provide better training for its employees in both food handling and hygiene. So far, nearly 100 people in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania have been infected with E. coli after eating at Taco Bell's. A two-day auction of items from Dick Clark's personal collection has ended in New York City, where hundreds of thousands of dollars were raised for charity. Among the highest-selling items, a microphone that Clark used for his first American Bandstand TV show 50 years ago. It went for $33,000. A cape used by Elvis sold for $24,000. Another real estate record in New York City, where a Fifth Avenue skyscraper has sold for $1.8 billion. And the Iraq Study Group's report on Iraq has quickly become a bestseller. It's already number 4 at Barnes & Noble's website and number 10 on Amazon.com's list of bestsellers. Light sweet crude oil trading down just 4 cents a barrel this hour at $62.15. Trading remains mixed on Wall Street. The Dow is up 3 at 12,312. NASDAQ is down just 2 at 2443. And the S&P 500 remains flat at 1412. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter, and the time now is 5 minutes past the hour.
America, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Well, the Iraq Study Group has come back with its recommendations, and all of Washington is a Twitter. This is it. This is our solution. This is what's going to resolve the crisis in Iraq. Well, it does at least tell the truth. That is something new for, you know, an administration. Of course, it wasn't the administration that gave us the Iraq Study Group. It was actually Congress. Right? You had Congress that established this Iraq Study Group, the Baker-Hamilton Commission, basically when they felt that the president wasn't doing anything. So what are the recommendations of the study group? Well, it says we need to try diplomacy. Oh, that's an idea. Try diplomacy. You know, none of us ever really considered trying diplomacy. We all thought that the president should use military force as his first resort and try talking only as an absolute last resort, right? Well, now the Iraq Study Group is now saying what Democrats and really any thinking Americans have been saying for the last 5 years. That is, hey, let's try diplomacy first. You know, it makes me think back to the days of the resolution that authorized the president to go to war in Iraq. Many people call it the resolution authorizing the war in Iraq. That is an incorrect assessment. What the resolution said was that if the president failed to prevent Saddam Hussein from getting weapons of mass destruction, if the inspectors went in and didn't find anything, then the president could go to war in Iraq. And as you know, many Democrats voted for that resolution. About half did, about half didn't. The most famous to vote for it was John Kerry. And then when he later came out against the war, people accused him of flip-flopping. Don't you wish John Kerry had said quite clearly what I'm about to say now? Mr. President, when I authorized you to go to war in Iraq, I thought you would do what you said you were going to do. Try diplomacy first and force only as a last resort. Indeed, if the man who won the White House in 2000, both according to the popular vote and the majority of Floridians, if the guy the Americans had elected as president of the United States had been allowed to be president instead of Sandra Day O'Connor going with America's second choice, then I surely would have trusted Al Gore to negotiate the best deal possible using the threat of force, yes, as a background, as a threat, but we'd never have to use it. I would have tried diplomacy first. And if I'd known, Mr. President, that you would have been as incompetent and bungling and lying as you have been in this war. No, I never would have authorized your ability to go to war to begin with. Of course, John Kerry didn't quite put it that way. But in essence, the Iraq Study Group is now telling us maybe we ought to try diplomacy. Well, I mean, that's good. I support diplomacy. It is a little late. But, hey, you know, let's try it. Let's try diplomacy. Let's try talking with our enemies. There are some good things in the report. One of the things the report says about talking to our enemies, people like Iran, is that if Iran chooses not to to come forward to be a fair player, then people will realize that it will, you know, that they're no help in the region. It might actually make people back away a bit from Iran. But really, the report, I don't know. I was glad to see. I was glad to see at least them not hiding the ball. Them saying that, and indeed, we are not winning the war in Iraq. Those were the magic words, of course, that got Robert Gates confirmed as defense secretary. It's such so rare to hear the truth in Washington. I think people were so stunned, and that's why he was approved 96-2, despite the fact, as we talked yesterday, that he has his own problems with fixing the facts around the intelligence. But the report makes some very clear points. It says that, yes, the war is entirely George Bush's fault. It's the White House's fault. It's the neoconservatives' fault. And what's interesting is that for the last 3-4 years, we've seen on Fox News, we've seen the president say that, hey, you're not getting the news of the progress in Iraq. Remember when they used to say that? You're not getting the news of the good news in Iraq. You're only getting the bad news. Well, the report makes clear that actually the news we were getting was too good. I mean, there are 93 attacks a day in Iraq. Just yesterday, more troops died than any other day in the war in Iraq. It is pushing 3,000. And, of course, in terms of Iraqi deaths, we have 30 to 40,000 a year. The news is, it's too good. And what's interesting is what made the Iraqi study group really, I guess, honest about what's going on in Iraq is that they went there. They traveled there. Yes, all of them stayed in the green zone except for Chuck Robb. But even then, they heard the noise, the explosions all throughout the night, rattling their guest house. Maybe that's what it took. As you know, most reporters are out of Iraq. Right? 99%, more than 99% of the reporters that were there at the time of the great mission accomplished, they've left. They're scared. They're out. So what's the most important parts of this Iraq study group? Well, we've got, of course, the timetable. Oh, they won't call it a timetable. That would make Republicans mad. They won't call it a timetable, but they will say that the troops should be out, at least the combat troops, should be out by the first quarter of 2008. Well, that's a start. And they're still going to keep some people in as trainers. Frankly, it reminds me of a lot of the way we left Vietnam. It's a fig leaf. Yes, more Americans will die while we're getting out, but it'll be at a lesser rate because, you know, hey, we're leaving. And one of the things it says, one of the conclusions of the report is, quote, good policy is difficult to make when information is systematically collected in a way that minimizes discrepancy with policy goals. Did you get that? It's saying what the Downing memo said. Fixing the facts around the policy. What Richard Clark said. The president keeps trying to get me to find his connection with Saddam Hussein and 9/11 that doesn't exist. The same thing that analysts, CIA analysts have said, that Ray McGovern has said, that Paul O'Neill has said. This is a White House that systematically ignores intelligence and tells us what they think we want to hear. They tell us what they want to hear. And so the report quite honestly says, you know what? One of the uses of intelligence is for intelligence. as dramatic as that sounds. To actually use the information, don't change it to fix the policy. And so what has the president done? Fired Rumsfeld to make it look good, but replaced him with Robert Gates, another guy who fixes the facts around the intelligence. I want to discuss more of the report, what you think about it, whether you think it changes anything. One thing I think it does do is it takes the debate from victory at all costs, which is what the president was asserting, or a cut and run, and instead comes into a realistic, hard-nosed assessment of how to get out of Iraq. I don't think it's really realistic. I think in many ways it is too little, too late. Even the ideas it proposes probably won't work. But it makes it clear that if Iraq doesn't abide by this last-ditch effort, we're coming home. And in that, it is good news, and it'll be interesting to see if the president accepts it. If you want to call in and discuss the Iraq Study Group report or any aspect of the war in Iraq, please give me a call. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this. The toll-free number is 8.
See, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
Excuse me, Ms. Executive, who studied 4 years of math, including trigonometry, and now sits in a huge office and drives a finely tuned luxury car?
Yes, Mr. Only learned basic math in school, so still have a low-paying job and have to live with your mother?
Sorry to bother you, but the vice president who took AP calculus and gets paid more than the rest of us combined wants to know if you'll be leaving early like you usually do to play golf.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll let him know. If you need me this weekend, I'll be working late filling out your expense reports and timesheets because it's the only kind of math I can handle.
Great. Simple addition and subtraction sound right up your alley.
Thanks. Have a good weekend in the country, ma'am.
I always do.
Want to get ahead in life? Learn math. Algebra, trigonometry, calculus. Because math is power. To learn more, log on to mathispower.org. A public service message brought to you by the National Action Council for Minorities in Engineering and the Ad Council.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the Iraq Study Group. Have you read this recommendation? Of course, this is the great panel that's going to solve everything. It was a bipartisan panel. Frankly, it's rare enough in Washington just to have a bipartisan panel. But what are their proposals? What are they suggesting we do? Well, they're suggesting we talk to people in the region, good idea. Kind of hard to dispute that. They're suggesting that we eventually bring the troops home, that particularly bring home most combat troops by calendar year 2008. Well, that's a good idea. That's kind of hard to fight with that idea. And then it has a whole bunch of ideas for the Iraqi government. They should have provincial elections. They should share the petroleum costs. They should stop the militias. They should approve an amnesty agreement. Again, these are all good ideas. I can't dispute them. I just wonder if it's a little too little, a little too late. Let's see what you think. 888-48-MARK. I think I know who this is. Rotan, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
This is Sarge.
Oh, this is Sarge. Okay, I thought it was Rotan. Go ahead, Sarge.
Rotan did tell me to say hello to you, and maybe he'll give you a call in when he sees how fast you can get on.
Okay, fair enough. Go ahead, Sarge.
This study group. You know, that's about the biggest waste of taxpayer money that we've had in a while, because this nut brain, this psychopath in the White House, there's no way he's going to follow anything but what he wants to follow.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about the study group is it's a way of telling Americans the obvious. I mean, we already know what they're saying. Yes, Iraq's out of control. Yes, nothing Bush has done has ever worked. Yes, we're in big trouble. But, you know, Bush doesn't seem to listen to the American people, so maybe he'll listen to this study group. You don't think he will?
No, I don't, because I'm going to tell you, I may be completely off base on this, but I think this Iraq study group is really more of an internal problem between him and his dad. Because his dad is trying to salvage
the legacy, the Bush legacy.
Yeah, and I just I don't think Junior appreciates it, and he doesn't want his dad interfering. So I just got a strange feeling that it's just a big ado about nothing. But it is good that the people will see it, people who normally would not.
Well, you know, again, that's kind of what you bring the poobahs in for, right? To tell the obvious, perhaps. And I guess that's what they're doing. So in terms of its ideas, I mean, it doesn't come with my grand proposal. Mine was to partition the thing, but in essence, look, I'm the first to tell you it's up to the Iraqi people to decide what they want. I just think that, well, that's what the Iraqis want, and frankly, and we should help them get together, have a big table, as I talked about last week on the way out of Iraq, get them at a big table to discuss the matter, but it is their decision. At this point, it's interesting, even the majority of the country, the Shiites, the people who are using our military at will, they want us out as well. So I don't know. It's interesting because this study group was set up by the Republican Congress. Of course, it is a bipartisan commission. But they made sure that its results would not come back until after the elections, because they wanted to make sure there'd be no accountability, I think, when they told us the truth. I just find it interesting because I've been watching, you know, as I'm sure you have occasionally, the Fox propaganda channels say they're not giving us any of the good news out of Iraq. And what this report shows is that the news we're getting out of Iraq is the good news. It's actually far, far worse.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that was in that study group, and I talked to Mike Malloy and Guy James about it, but, you know, they talk about putting the troops into these, they don't call them this, but they're permanent bases. I think they call them enduring bases. And having them and training the Iraqi soldiers to go out and take care of the missions and stuff. But then when you look at the makeup of the Iraqi army, there's no way that's going to work, because you're going to have to embed American troops with them. You're going to have to go out and rescue them. Some of them are going to turn and run or join the insurgents. So to me, I didn't see anything in there that really belongs, that this really will work. About the only thing I see that's going to work is announce a time we're going to get out of there,
right,
and start working on getting out, because we are the catalyst to the problem. And if we get out, it will help serve toward a peaceful end. I mean,
you know, look, I'm not even going to go that far. I'd be willing to say when we go out, Iraq will still be a mess. But the answer is it's either a mess with us there or a mess without us there. And, you know, I'm all for diplomacy. Like I said, it's kind of weird to try diplomacy after the military option failed. That seems to be the way they're going. I'm all for that. But at this point, it is a mess. It's entirely, you know, we never should have gone there to begin with. And at some points, you just got to cut your losses. I mean, one of the mistakes I think America made in Vietnam is not understanding the concept of sunk cost. The idea that, you know, if you buy a lousy stock and you put $10,000 of your money in this lousy stock, and then the stock is going toward bankruptcy, don't buy a bunch more stock, you know, because you think, well, if I don't, I've wasted my investment. You have wasted your investment. 3,000 Americans are not coming back. $400 billion is not coming back. And sending 3,000 more American lives and $400 more billion dollars chasing, you know, good troops after dead troops, or good money after bad money, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, we never had any business going in there anyway. You know, Loy made me wake up to something the other day. When you look at it, they say we didn't send enough troops. Well, actually, we sent too many troops, because when we sent one troop into Iraq to invade Iraq, we sent too many. We never should have been there in the first place.
Thanks for your call, Sarge. I appreciate it. Folks, if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. And, you know, just in general, we don't have to restrict it to the findings of the Iraq Study Group. What do you think this will do? I mean, do you think George Bush will listen? At this point, you know, he was absolutely not going to listen. It was very clear he wasn't interested. And then comes this report. Now, it's after the elections. He's fired Rumsfeld, but replaced Rumsfeld with a guy who also fixes the facts around the intelligence, right? So, what's the next step? How do we get from here to there? In my view, you know, it's all a fig leaf. It's all a cover. And you know what? I understand that. I even kind of begrudgingly respect it, actually. We used it in Vietnam. I don't know that anyone believed it. It's all about saving face now. That's all that's left. The things they suggest, provisional, you know, provincial elections, that's good. You know, sharing the petroleum wealth, that's fine. Stopping the militias. I don't know how much I like the amnesty idea, the idea that people who have killed the troops, you know, get amnesty. But I understand it. I respect it. What they're really doing, though, is they're setting up the Iraqi government for failure. What they're doing is they're setting a bunch of requirements. The report says by April, the Iraqi government has to control the army. By September, control the provinces, and by December, attain security self-reliance. That's great. Why don't we just say attain victory by tomorrow? It's not going to happen. This is a government that can't control its army because it doesn't want to. What it does is, instead, it sends the militias out to do its dirty work, and then it plays this good cop, bad cop. This is a government of the Shiites, by the Shiites, for the Shiites. They are the majority of the country. They all voted for their people. They run the government. And the problem is that it doesn't have minority rights. And that's why the Sunnis and the Kurds, I think, at the end of the day, are going to want autonomy. Now, is it going to be separate states? Is it going to be autonomy all within the same context? I don't know. But it's not our role to decide that. And so, you know, Washington is all a flutter with people telling the truth. I mean, if you look at the Robert Gates hearings, if you look at the Iraq Study Group, Washington's like, wait a minute, wait, so what's wrong? People are telling the truth here. And they can hardly believe it, actually. But will it really change anything? The question is, will the president's masters, Dick Cheney and Karl Rove, the people who control our government, will they allow Prince George to actually try to bring troops home? Or are they going to say, as he said just in October 25th, 2 weeks before the election, we're winning in Iraq, don't believe the bad news, don't look at that man behind the curtain, everything we say is doing just fine. Well, what do you think? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this. Fire,
arthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills. They weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions, and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief. No more, no less.
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBrite ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish.
If you give someone a fish.
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Well, the moment everyone's been waiting for, just like Nixon's secret plan to win the war in Vietnam, I guess we've got now the no longer secret Baker-Hamilton study group. I don't mean to knock it. It is a rare event in Washington where 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats can come together and tell the American people what they already know. Sometimes that's what a blue ribbon commission actually is supposed to do, particularly when you have an incorrigible president, someone who has said that I'm not leaving Iraq until my wife and my dog tell me so. And, you know, Barney's already told him. I saw the dog the other day. He was yelping, please get us out of Iraq. Well, I guess we got to work on Laura now. Look, let's talk about what's in the plan. What does it say? Well, it says that we should talk to all of Iraq's neighbors. Okay. Yeah, sure. We should talk to them. It says that we should work on resolving the crisis, the continuing crisis, the 60-year crisis between Israel and the Palestinian Arabs. Sure. Absolutely. Let's work on it. Agrees that we shouldn't be negotiating with Hamas until it recognizes Israel's right to exist. Well, okay. I agree with that, too. But how is that different from our current policy? I mean, Hamas is not going to recognize Israel anytime soon. And it says that we should work to encourage Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Iran and Syria not to meddle in Iraqi affairs. Sure. Absolutely. Go for it. You know, I don't know whether the president's done this already, whether they've tried to do this already. If they haven't, obviously they're idiots. They need to try. But, you know, these are dangerous countries. Iran and Syria, in fact, might have helped us 3 years ago when we were seen as powerful in Iraq, but they smell weakness. They know that we're losing. They know we're on our way out. They know this is no time to help their great enemy, which, of course, is us. So I'm all for discussion. I don't know that it will solve anything. What else is in it? Well, a lot of really what the report had to say, and this I do appreciate, is just simple truth. Talking about the grave and deteriorating situation in Iraq, saying, quote, the ability of the United States to influence events within Iraq is diminishing, unquote. Reporting that 93 acts of violence occurred in one day in July, that only 6 people in the 1,000-person embassy in Baghdad speak Arabic. Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. We have 1,000 people in our embassy in Baghdad. 6 speak Arabic. Heck, we fired 10 times that number of Arabic speakers just because they're gay. But, well, it's more important to show homophobia than, of course, to help us in Iraq. It calls for scaling back the administration's goals. All right. Ending the president's open-ended commitments. Well, that's a good one. Like the one that says, we won't leave until there's victory. Yeah, well, that one's out the window. And most importantly, advises that almost all U.S. combat troops be withdrawn by the beginning of 2008. Again, good stuff. But is this really anything new? Is this any different from what we did in Vietnam? And then, of course, we're going to leave maybe 20,000 there to advise and train the troops. We're actually going to increase the number of those training the troops. Except that the trainers have said that the mission is extremely difficult and none of them were prepared for the task. So we'll put in more unprepared people to do things that they don't know how to do. Apparently, the trainers knew something of U.S. combat operations, but knew virtually nothing of Iraqi culture or the foreign weaponry they were using. So will Iraq go the way of Vietnam? Of course Iraq will go the way of Vietnam. We'll look for some face-saving fig leaf as we leave the country. And it will be remembered as a failed policy. And that's no reason not to leave. That's no reason not to leave. I guarantee you that after we leave Iraq, there will be people on the far right that will say the exact same thing they're saying now about Vietnam. We should have just stayed. We would have won. We left before victory. It's the Democrats' fault. They're going to say it. Folks, be prepared. They're going to say it. The Democrats cut and run. It shouldn't have been $400 billion. It should have been a trillion. It shouldn't have been 3,000 American lives. It should have been 50,000 American lives. And Iraq would have been a peaceful oasis in the Middle East where all people would come together, people of different races and religions, hugging and singing Kumbaya as oil goes to ExxonMobil and Halliburton. Well, some of us wake up from those dreams, and some of us never do. So they're going to say it. They're going to say that the Democrats made us lose the war in Iraq. But remember, they're still saying about that about Vietnam. And I want to know which far right-wing conservative thinks that we need to take our troops out of Iraq and send them right back into Vietnam. Vietnam's still a communist country, right? They'll say it, though. And they always do. Even though Vietnam is, frankly, far better off than it was 20 years ago. So, what will happen? Well, Bush has thanked the study group, said thank you very much. And they put in Robert Gates, who admittedly told the senators the truth. Sinnings are not used to hearing. But if you heard my show yesterday, and I know some of you didn't, but you know that Gates is someone who does precisely what the Iraq study group warned us about. The Iraq Study Group said, and I'm going to quote this again, this is very important because this tracks the Downing Street memo, this tracks what Richard Clark has said, what the curveball, how he tricked Colin Powell, the CIA analyst Drumsheller, Tyler Drumsheller, who said, hey, I tried to warn George Tenet, don't allow that false information about weapons of mass destruction to come to Colin Powell. What we know is this is an administration that changes the intelligence to fit the policy. That's what they do. And what does the Iraq Study Group say? Quote, good policy is difficult to make when information is systematically collected in a way that minimizes discrepancy with policy goals. Unquote. Really? You mean it's hard to decide what to do when the intelligence people are ignoring the intelligence and just telling you what you want to hear? Really? You mean it's not good policy to hire people to tell you what you want to hear? That it's better policy to actually look at the information we're getting from our satellites and from our spies in the field? Wow. That's news. Maybe. Maybe news for some. Maybe news for the Bush administration. But here's an idea. We spend $30, $40, $50 billion on our spy satellites and our spies and the CIA. How about if we actually looked at the information? Because otherwise, we could put it in healthcare. We could put it into helping the homeless. We could put it into education. We could put it into helping hurricane victims. So will Robert Gates change all this? Well, let's listen to what others say about him. We have the head of the CIA's Office of Soviet Analysis back in 1991, a guy by the name of Melvin Goodman, who said that Gates corrupts the process and the ethics of intelligence by ordering changes in its reports that are unsupported by evidence. Uh-oh. CIA Soviet Affairs Analyst Jennifer Glaudeman testified, not only could we feel his contempt, we could feel his party line. Harold P. Ford, Gates' successor as head of the National Intelligence Council, accused Gates of leaning heavily on subordinates to skew intelligence. Now, where have you heard that before? Well, let's see. I think there was some guy named Dick Cheney that was going into CIA offices and leaning on intelligence officials. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was. Harold Ford said, we deserve someone with a better analytic batting average. Finally, there's George Shultz, Ronald Reagan's Secretary of State, no liberal he. He said the CIA's analyses had been predictable, manipulative, and improperly shaped by strong views about policy. It's the don't bring me no bad news CIA, folks. Brought to you by it's cheaper to tell you what you want to hear than to actually review the satellites. Hey, folks, you know, we don't need any Arabic translators at all. All the Arabic translators would do would be look at terrorist threats and tell them to the president. But the president doesn't want to know about terrorist threats, not if they're not coming from Saddam Hussein. So we don't need the translators at all. Will Gates really be a difference? Honestly, I think the only hope is indeed in the Democratic Congress, in the oversight that they're going to have to do over Gates and over everybody else to make sure that he does walk the line. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I want to hear from you. Do you think there'll be a change in Iraq? Do you think George Bush will actually listen to this study commission who's basically telling the American public what we've known for a very long time? Let me know what you think. 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
Message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting, energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in the book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a Novec customer. Novec, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. Novec's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. Novec, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop as the conversation goes from are we going to achieve victory in Iraq to, how best do we get out of Iraq? We find an administration that's on the ropes. And what's interesting is that this report was designed to come out after the election. Now, why is that? We know why it is, of course. The reason is because, heck, the Republicans didn't want anyone to know how bad the situation was in Iraq prior to the election. They felt they might lose the election. Well, of course, they did lose the election. The American people are smarter than that. But if the report had come out before the election, what would have happened then? Would there have been a greater Democratic victory? Or would Republicans have started to call for the same things the report and the Democrats are starting to call for? Withdrawal of our combat troops. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to someone I think is this time Rotan. Rotan, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Oh, hey, Mark. How are you?
Good. Glad to hear you call in.
Yeah, I tell you, it's kind of tough for me to talk on the phone. I'm actually much better talking in the chat room, but give it a shot here.
Give it a shot. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to let you know that you got a good show and enjoy listening to it and keep up the good work. And I just want to let you know that I'm a veteran, just like Sarge, and I was in for 20 years. And I think me and Sarge had the same views on what's going on in the world and in the Bush administration, so.
Rotan, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Minnesota.
Now, were you in the Persian Gulf War or any other war?
Well, I was in, back when the Iraqis were our friends. Back in 1984, I was in the Persian Gulf, and it was a time during when the Iraqis and the Iranians were going at it, and they were, bombing the oil tankers in the Persian Gulf, and we were actually out there just as a policeman type of situation, but that was when I was in.
Did you see that war as more of a clear, good war than today?
I don't know. I think we would have learned something from Vietnam, but I guess not. But
I mean, the Persian Gulf War. Did you see that as a more justified war?
The first war?
The Persian Gulf War. Yeah.
Well, I think so, because I think, we had, most countries were on our side at that time, and, this second war here, it's been a case of, coercion to get people to go in there with us, so, I think that one was more of a just war, yes.
Hey, Rotan, before you go, I want to ask you about your state, Minnesota, because I used to love Minnesota. Minnesota, of course, is politically, I still like Minnesota, but Minnesota, of course, is a state, the only state that went for Walter Mondale in 1984. It had the senator who was always my personal favorite, a guy just with a tremendous heart, Paul Wellstone. And then when he died, y'all picked this idiot, Norm Coleman. And in the recent election, yeah, you know, you went for Kerry, but it was awfully close. What's going on in Minnesota?
Norm Coleman, I think he's kind of a carpetbagger. He wanted to become mayor of St. Paul, and that didn't work out for him. So then he tried for U.S. Senate, and he did it at an opportune time. When the office was open, and somehow he got in there. But we're trying to get him out. but I tell you, I don't know. Do you know Mark Dayton?
I do know Mark Dayton. I know him personally. I've worked with
really
him.
He's really a great senator, and he's going to be leaving. They're going to replace him with Amy Klobuchar. So
right, and she seems awfully good. So you don't think Minnesota is going in the wrong direction? I mean, you think it's still a pretty solidly liberal state?
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah. We had a congressman here, Gil Gutnick, that was defeated by a Democrat, Tim Walz, and that's just proof of how things go in Minnesota. So
before we go, what do you think needs to happen in Iraq? We need to get out of there as soon as possible, or you have some other view?
Well, I think I tend to agree with getting out of Iraq. They're going to have to get out and let the Iraqis solve it by themselves. I mean, I just don't see any other plan or way to leave gracefully. I mean, it's just the way things are,
Hey, Rotan, thanks for your call. I hope you'll call again sometime.
Yeah, okay. It was nice talking to you. Have a good day.
Great talking to you. Folks, if you want to call in, there's still time to do so. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. You're always welcome to state your views. Hey, agree or disagree, too. That's always fine. Before we go, I want to make sure we at least realize who Robert Gates is. I know he's been confirmed. Interestingly, the only people that opposed him were those that opposed him on the right. There weren't many. Jim Bunning of Kentucky and Rick Santorum, the newly disgraced Rick Santorum, voted against him. But because the Democrats were stunned that he told the truth. I mean, here you had Bush say in October 25th, that's 6 weeks ago, that we're winning the war in Iraq, and Gates is telling the truth. No, we're not winning. So Democrats were happy to have him there. Anyone was happy to replace, Don Rumsfeld. But this is a guy that has to be watched very carefully. We know that when he was head of the CIA under George H.W. Bush and the State Department disagreed with some of his assertions, he pushed them out. He said, "I'm not, don't put that in there. Don't put dissents in footnotes to my analysis." And, of course, he was heavily involved in the Iran-Contra affair. How could he not know what his chief, Bill Casey, the CIA, and what Ollie North were doing? He said he didn't know, but, all the evidence suggests that he did. It was hard to prove criminally. He wasn't quite indicted. He managed to get his way out of it. But, I, for one, have argued, for example, that Alcee Hastings shouldn't be head chairman of the Judiciary Committee because I felt that even though he was not convicted of a crime, his impeachment and conviction in the Senate was enough to convince me he shouldn't be running our intelligence. So Gates wasn't convicted of an Iran-Contra affair, but he had to know. He had to know stuff was going on. As Lawrence Walsh said, it was deeply disquieting and untruthful, but not criminal. Walsh wrote he was particularly troubled by Gates' assertion that he forgot receiving early memos and briefings about the diversion from Iran to the Contras. He said Gates' reactions were tailored more to protecting the CIA than to learning the truth and stopping illegal conduct. Of course, he said Gates was in a difficult position. He was deputy to Bill Casey, the chairman of the CIA at the time, who was running the guns to the Contras. But, of course, the Contras were not to be funded. Congress at that time had said it is illegal to fund the Contras. So what do you do when you have people in government that are willing to go along to get along? George Tenet's the classic one of them. Of course, George Bush gave George Tenet the Medal of Freedom. Paul Bremer, too. George Bush is someone who rewards yes men, wants yes men, rewards yes men. That's just the kind of people he wants in our government, right? So Robert Gates is one of those. And it will be up to the Democrats to look over him carefully, to do the oversight they promised us they would do in Congress, and to watch him like a hawk. Interestingly, about the only person left that disagrees with the Iraq Study Group, with the Democrats, with the American people, is John McCain. Now, this is really interesting because John McCain is the best hope of the Republican Party. He is a maverick, that's what the press likes to say, just because he's one of the only Republicans in Congress that doesn't salute and do everything George Bush tells him to do, only votes with George Bush 80% of the time instead of 99% of the time, they're like, wow, he's a maverick. He has independent ideas. And so he does. And despite the fact that he's been on bended knee and trying to toady up to Jerry Falwell, I largely think that John McCain is an honest person. But listen to what he's saying about Iraq. He's saying, send more troops. He's saying, we can still win. Send more troops. I hope people know that. Because I think John McCain is going to be the Republican nominee in 2008. And I hope people remember that John McCain wants to send more troops. What are more troops going to do? The troops are, as Sarge, I think Sarge said it just today, we're the gasoline on the fire. He used the word catalyst. We're the catalyst. Well, we're more than a catalyst. We're the gasoline on the fire. We inflame people. Except for Kurdistan, where I think we are supported, and I've argued our troops. I have no problem with continuing troops in Kurdistan. In the Sunni and the Shiite areas, we simply fan the flames. And so, John McCain, if you want to run for president, let's make it very clear. What do you think the extra troops will do? Because you know what? We don't have them. Unless you want to do some kind of Charlie Rangel-like draft, which the Democratic congressman has suggested simply because we know how it works in America today. Poor people fight the wars, not rich people. Hardly even the middle class today. Lower-income people fight our nation's wars. People who are trying to serve in the National Guard want to help in places like New Orleans get sent to Iraq. People sign up for Afghanistan, they're sent to Iraq. We don't have enough troops in our volunteer army, and no one wants to start a draft. So where are these troops coming from? Are we going to leave Korea and say to a very dangerous leader, far more dangerous than Saddam Hussein ever was, say to North Korea's Kim Jong-il, have at it, we're gone? Is that the answer? Where are these troops coming from, John McCain? This is an army that wouldn't even pay for their body armor. $400 billion. They told us this war would be done in 6 weeks. And now they're saying that maybe it'll be done in 6 years. It's time to come home. Now you got to come home carefully. You can't just all leave tomorrow. I understand that. I respect that. But perhaps the best legacy of this study group is to say very clearly in a bipartisan fashion to the President of the United States, your policy is a colossal failure. Either you know it and you're lying about it, or you don't know about it, and we're telling you now. It's time to come home. And I do like the fact that at this point, the only debate now is how best do we come home? That's really the only question. How best do we extricate ourselves from Iraq? The Iraqi government is complaining, of course. They're saying, this isn't about helping Iraq. This is about helping America get out. Well, you know what? That's exactly right. It is about helping America get out of a war we never should have been in the first place. A preemptive war against a country that never attacked us. A country that we claimed had weapons of mass destruction that never did. A country that our president told us had connections to Al-Qaeda that it never had. The 2002 resolution that authorized us to go to war in Iraq said that Saddam Hussein's regime was thwarting the efforts of weapons inspectors, a continuing threat to the national security of the United States, and would employ weapons of mass destruction in surprise attack against the United States or provide them to international terrorists who would do so. Pretty strong stuff. We know now it was all untrue. In fact, there's a good argument to be made that the legal justification for the war is absolutely gone now, and the president has no right to be there. So as the Democrats take over, as they go to an amazing thing in Congress, a five-day work week, instead of the Tuesday evening to Thursday afternoon sessions that they were so used to when I worked in Congress, let them look over the war in Iraq carefully. Because the Iraq Study Group has merely told us what we already know. It's time to leave. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tune in Monday for the Week in Review. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
Talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, hello everybody. How you doing today? Gee whiz, did they sound like they were in a well talking there, Paul, when he introduced the show? Little echo there. I don't know what's up with that. Hey, welcome to the show today. Glad to have all of you along with us today. We hope to have a good show for you. We've got a couple of great guests coming up. We're going to finish up where we left off yesterday with the Iraq Study Group thing. We won't spend the whole show on that, certainly. And in the second hour, we've got a guest with that's going to be with us who's going to talk to James Paul is his name. He's director of the Global Policy Forum. And he's written several pieces about oil, including oil in Iraq, the heart of the crisis. He said today the Iraq Study Group report confirms Washington's longstanding focus on Iraq's oil resources, seen as the greatest potential for profits in the history of the industry. We're there for oil. That's the only reason we went there. The only reason we'll ever be there is for oil, and we're going to talk about that in the second hour. Remember how they said, how dare you accuse us of going to Iraq for their oil. My word, how can you? That's a very anti-American thing to say. Remember how they excoriated everybody that said that? When we all knew full well that was exactly why they were there. Anybody that with a brain knew that's why they were there. We had no interest in... I have to laugh. It's not funny. But when I think about it, about the Bush administration talking about humanitarian aid, they don't give a damn about humanitarian aid in this country. They don't give a damn about humanitarian aid to the Mexicans. They don't care about humanitarian aid to anybody. They don't care about humanitarian aid with Darfur. But all of a sudden, just three short years ago, we had this great humanitarian desire in the White House to go help out those poor people in Iraq. Man, I'll bet the people in Iraq wish they had never seen the American flag. I'll bet they wish they had never seen that first soldier walk in there. I bet they're talking behind closed doors as we speak how damn nice they had it under Saddam compared to the way it is right now. So, I don't know why I got started off on that. Anyway, that's what we're going to do today. That's what we're going to talk about today. And you can call us, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. I haven't been drinking. Honestly, I haven't. I'm not a drinking man. Here we go. One of the things, I picked up a little item here. I don't know how many of you have seen this, but I found this oh so interesting. John McCain, the darling of the right, the last man standing that wants to get more troops. Well, I should say the last one running for president that's yelling for more troops in Iraq. There are some Democrats talking about doing that as well. However, we'll talk about them later. But here's McCain. You know, he's the great hope of the Republican Party, they say, coming up in the 2008 election. And he was the man with the... Well, when Bush started to fade, you know, when we started to get the whole story on, not we, when the rest of them started believing our story about Bush, we knew about him all along, but when we started getting that out to the world and the Republicans starting to see what a rotten apple George Bush was, they said, well, you know, we got John McCain over here, and John McCain's a good, honest, decent man. He's got morals and ethics, and he's just such a great guy. Never mind about his ex-wife and all that. We don't want to get into that. But, you know, that happens. But McCain, you remember back in the 2000 South Carolina primary when the Rove people were spreading rumors that McCain had a black baby in South Carolina. Imagine that, a white man having a black baby in South Carolina. Oh, my God. How could such a